been just a busy week spiritually too. God's been working in people's hearts. We need revival though, I can tell you that. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are in need of revival. Lord really needs to visit us, and that's what we're preparing for. You know, as we come together in this Advent season, we are preparing for the coming of Christ. What preparations am I making and you making to have room in our hearts for this Savior? I mean, to totally surrender. I think that's what I see the evidence of all the characters of the Christmas story that we read every year, is that they were available and they were surrendered fully to the cause of Christ. They had questions, yeah. I mean, you know, we're going to have questions. We've got to accept God's will, even when we don't understand it. I mean, we've got to hear what God is saying, and God's speaking clearly. God's speaking so clearly. He speaks right out of this book every time I open it up. He's speaking so clearly. But oftentimes we're very busy. And all we need is a touch of humility today. And that's where we're going to be. And we're going to be, we lit the shepherd's candle this morning. We talked about the prophets, the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. Talked about the coming Messiah. Last Sunday we got together and we talked about the Bethlehem candle, the house of prayer. And we spoke on Joseph a little bit Wednesday night. And I appreciate everyone that has out, that's visible, symbols of the Christmas message. Symbols of the Christmas message. I do. I mean, I don't say everybody needs to get into that, but I appreciate going and looking out in a yard or at a place of business, or, and just, we're just attract the spiritual message of Christmas. Get beyond the trees and the Santa Clauses and all the things are glittering, and just see a manger scene. Because you know the manger scene has a message. You know what? It does. You know what it speaks to me? Just how cold my heart can get sometimes. That cold stable, and then Jesus still just went on, didn't he? He still loves us in spite of us. You can't find anybody like that unless they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Unless they're willing to surrender everything they got. That's what I'm going to talk about for them shepherds. If you would turn to Luke chapter 2. A little different look at the shepherds this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I hope you got your spiritual antennas up. Hope you're looking by faith this morning, not by sight. Chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made it abroad, known abroad, and saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they who heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come today with probably the most important event that ever took place on this earth, the incarnation of Christ. We come this morning, Lord, in needing of a revelation, in needing of spiritual understanding, and of the real message of Christmas, of the very meaning behind what we come together for. So, Lord, it'll take work of grace and mercy and love. And we'll trust you for that. And we'll believe, Lord. We'll believe today that we'll go from this place different than we came. And we'll share, and we'll tell, and we'll proclaim to others this Savior, this one who died and was buried and arose again. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen. I think the interesting part of this passage of Scripture is to whom the message came. The Scripture says it came to shepherds. You know, the shepherds, of course, we know had the lowest estate at that time. You see, the message that the Lord gave, it wasn't in the ivory palace. It was over on the shepherd fields. Now, I couldn't think how 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to a church, Corinth, and he said this. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Know that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh, no human effort should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom, to righteousness, to sanctification and redemption, according as it is written. Interesting that God would choose shepherds, isn't it? But you know, it's very interesting to look at ourselves and think God would choose us. You see, you got to put away all pride this morning. I have and you have. You got to put away all self-sufficiency this morning. You got to put it to death, because there's no flesh that's going to glory in the presence of God. And these shepherds, I wonder on that field, in that field out there, those shepherds. I wonder if they was reminiscing about King David, you know, singing on the same fields that of Bethlehem that they were on. You know, David, the little shepherd boy, the one that Jesse just didn't think he had a son that was able to put to death Goliath. And I just wonder what they were thinking on that particular day, that the angel, God's ministering spirit, the angel, God's flaming fire, the angel, God's messenger that he sent to speak to these shepherds. I wonder what was on their minds, don't you? They was obviously shocked. Do you know what the grace of God is this morning? And do you know what the mercy of God is this morning? Do you know sometimes we look at people not from the eyes of Christ? You see, mercy is holding back what people rightfully deserve. That's mercy. So when you look at someone this Christmas and they're not in your frame of particular size or particular color or particular status, how do you look at those people? Do you look at them through the eyes of mercy? Because, mind you, mercy is that which is withholding that what you deserve. And do you look at them through the eyes of grace? That is God giving you what you don't deserve. You see, if I know the scriptures, I believe around the throne there is the angels that's crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I believe around the throne there's the mercy seat. And I believe God calls to us this morning, not because we're good, and not because we've accomplished anything, but he calls from the mercy seat because of this. He's merciful, and he's graceful. Why did God speak? Why did he send the angelic messenger to these shepherds that was keeping the flock by night? It seems that God was occupied with people of low estate, doesn't it? Sometimes I think in the church and all around us, we've gotten too big for God to occupy himself with us. We've gotten too self-sufficient. We've gotten too opinionated. And God is just this morning wanting to speak. If you're willing to listen, that's my first point. The shepherds were willing to listen. Look what this did. Verse 9. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, that they were so afraid. Now this was visible. I don't know what kind of form. This was visible when token of the presence of eternal God. You know, you hear people talking today about, boy, God showed up. But yet, they're not changed. And God showed up, and yet they're not old. You know, we've brought God down so in his eternalness that when he really shows up, there's a fear that God has to say, "Fear not." That God has to say, "Don't be afraid." That God has to say something. And the angel said that in verse 10. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And I bring you great joy, which should be to all people." In other words, the gospel message. I'm going to wake you up. It's almost shock you this morning. The gospel message is just not for white folks. I shocked you this morning, didn't I? You recording this, ain't you? Sometimes we think so. The gospel message is just not for the middle class. The gospel message, if I interpret the scriptures right, and I believe the scriptures are inspired, I believe they're infallible. So the gospel message is for all people, for all races, for all colors. I was watching this morning on Day of Discovery how that back in the slavery times. And did you know that everything was prepared so precisely when the Son of Man came? Did you know in this period of 400 years, and we call it the silent period, but really it wasn't silent. I mean, God was really working. But did you know this, that economically, that two out of every three people on the streets of Rome were slaves? Did you know that? Did you know when Jesus came and everything was precisely prepared, that the political preparation was just where it needed to be? The economical preparation was just where it needed to be. The moral preparation was just where it needed to be. And the religious preparation was just what it needed to be. In other words, the moral climate was hopelessness. The religious preparation was hypocrisy. The social and economic preparation was just the pits. And you know what? I believe he's coming again. And I believe you're going to see these same preparation for his coming again. I watched Hal Lindsey last night and Jack Van Impe last night. Do you know this thing is about to be over? Did you know everything is prepared for Jesus to split those skies and for him to catch the church up in the rapture? And are we prepared? Are you prepared this morning? If he came to you, would you have room in your heart this morning? Would you be prepared? Would you be like these shepherds that when the angel come, that would listen to the message of this, not just joy, great joy. You know, great joy. Would you hear the message today that in this city here, in the city of David, in this town called Bethlehem, there would be born this day, this particular day, not by chance. I hate that word, by chance, don't you? Hate that word, because nothing happens by chance if you're a child of God. There's no chances with you. There's no accidents with you. There's none of that with you and God. Everything is ordained. Everything is prepared. We just need to be prepared. We just need to be prepared. And he prepared it. And he gave them a sign too. He said, when you go looking for this baby, this is going to be the sign. You'll find this baby. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you seek God today, you'll find him. But you won't find him unless you seek him with all your heart. You come in this morning, you hold to the world with one hand, and you hold to the church with the other hand. You won't find God. You won't find him this morning. Let's get it right this morning. Let's get the way straight this morning. Let's come just as we are, not trusting in anything but on the Savior we rest. Let's come this morning because, you see, these shepherds was given a sign by God and given another message. And suddenly, verse 13, there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts. Of heavenly hosts, just praising God. What do you think of that host? I mean, you know what a host says about a good guest? If those guests would just let the host do what the host can do. And if you'll let this morning God do what he can do, you'll go away from here a changed person. If you just let him do, and don't tell me this morning that you're perfect. Don't tell me this morning that you ain't got something in your life and something in your heart that God doesn't want to remove. Because nobody in here is perfect. Nobody. Not a one. And everybody is a sinner, and everybody needs the grace of God. These shepherds were sinners. They were afraid at the awesome power of God, those glory angels and those shouts of glory to God. And they were just suddenly with these angels, those heavenly hosts. And they was praising God and they were saying, glory to God in the highest on earth and goodwill towards men. Glory. The glory of God. The glory of God. The weight of God, the very presence of God. And they left. And they left. Verse 15, they left, the Bible says. And it came to pass, I'm going to tell you, you can imagine all these shepherds there and all of this going on. Let me just tell you, this wasn't a normal church service, okay? This was a visitation from an angelic host bringing good news to those shepherds. And then all of this left. What? From the altar to the door, do you lose it? I mean, from the church, when we assemble ourselves together, and when you leave out that door right there, do you lose the three? Here's what I want you to see. Three things about these shepherds. Number one, this spontaneous to the message. They are spontaneous to the message. In other words, they heard the message and they didn't evaluate it. The Bible says that they just engulfed it. The enthusiasm of their walk. But you know what? I don't have it and you don't have it. If you've engulfed in a holiday this morning, if all it is to you is just a shopping spree, if all it is to you is just buying a gift, if all it is to you is just receiving this morning, if all it is to you is just another Christmas holiday, then you'll lose it from the seat to the door. But if you get a message from God, and it's about Christ, and it's what He, you know, Christmas, and I thank God for Christmas, but you know what? This passage of Scripture right here tells us that Jesus Christ didn't come on Christmas. Just mark that off the recording, Marty, because you'll just blow everybody's bubble. Did you know He didn't come on Christmas? And I don't know how it got started, having this on Christmas. I don't really care to know. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm not saying anything about Christmas, not having this. But you know what? He wasn't born on Christmas Day. Matter of fact, He was probably born around April. Because that's when the shepherds had the sheep out. I told the guys this morning, let's sing a little. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas songs, but let's just go a little untraditional this morning. You know, sometimes we have to step out of the ordinary and experience what these shepherds experienced. So humble, their state was so humble. And you know, you're thinking, what can I offer? Well, they offered the sacrifices, what they offered. But you know, sometimes we think, what can I offer this Christmas season unto a God who has everything? Do you ever think that? In all the busyness that's going around, what can I really do that would make a difference in this Christmas season, in this Christmas season? Well, I can tell you right now, it's to go from this place and to tell someone else about the Jesus that you know. To tell someone else. Aren't you just so thankful that when all the excitement left, when all this heavenly host left, that these shepherds didn't just forget and lose what had just happened at that place. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I know about me, I sit in a service like this, and I'll get so blessed and so filled up. But I'm going to tell you what, once I step out that door right there, I let the devil steal it. And that's who steals it. You lose it from the door, from this place to out that door right there. You lose your joy. You lose your praise. You lose it. And you know what? You've lost the message of Christmas. Because he come to bring great joy. He come to put praises in our heart. He come internally inside us. It's not externally, it's inside us. And something is desperately wrong in my heart and in your heart this morning if we're celebrating this Christmas season, calling it a holiday, and not having the joy of the Lord in our heart and not having praises from God in our lips. Something is desperately wrong. Because the Scripture says so. And it's a challenge. And it's not easy. From what I understand from the Scriptures here, that they said in their hearts, in verse 15, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Do you know this morning? Listen, do you know this morning that you're saved? I mean, do you know without a doubt this morning that you are saved? Because it's obvious that which compelled them is because the Lord had made it known unto them. You see, a man can't make it known unto you. Grandma, granddaddy, mama, and daddy can't make it known unto you. They can tell you the way, but Jesus will show you the way. And some of the members in this church and churches all over the world do not know certainly that you are saved. And the Bible says you can know. You can know. And that's what compelled these. And I wonder what don't compel us is because we don't know. Let's look at the negative point. When you know, that's what compels you. And that's all you need to know this morning. All you need to know this morning is like the shepherds knew that day. That Christ has come and he's lodged in my heart and I know it and I'm going to go from here and I'm going to tell it to someone else. And if they won't listen, I'm going to tell it to someone else. And if they don't listen, I'm going to tell it to someone else. And if they don't listen, I'm going to tell it to someone else until I find someone that will hear the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not going to stop. Because I'm speaking about eternity. And you're sitting in here and you're thinking either about the temporal or the eternal. Let me just tell you something. Everybody don't go to heaven. And if your daughters and your sons are living out in this world in sin, you need to get real this morning because something is happening. And God is here. You know, the angelic host was just saying here that God is working. That God is working. That God is working. And these shepherds heard it and they saw it and they went out to make it known abroad. In all, verse 18, I'm closing right here. And I really mean I'm closing. And all they who heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. And you know, that's where it starts at. That's where it starts with your brothers and your sisters and your daughters and your sons is, you know, don't go in and out of the house and not mention nothing about what's going on with God. Now, right the opposite of this, your children, you know, many children have abandoned the church simply because all they can hear at home is their parents sitting down at a table talking negative about the church and gossiping about people, and they are being turned away from the church. God help us as merciful and graceful people. God help us that they don't hear the good news and the good word and what God is doing. And you see, that's one particular sin every one of us needs to confess this morning. Because if you ain't heard it, I have. And if I ain't heard it, you have. This is the gospel, not gossip. This is the good news, not bad news. You know, the Lord's been convicting my heart not denying reality, but with the reality, bringing a good report. You know, when you share a message with somebody, don't tell them all about what bad's going on. How about share a little bit of what good's going on? It's so easy and not even know it and not even be aware of it. The messages that we send every day without having a nugget of good news in it sometimes is astounding. Sometimes is a shocker, because the message is the good news. The message is the great joy. The message is the peace. The message is the hope that we have this morning in this place. Let me tell you what, if I didn't have it this morning, I would drop that Bible and I'd walk out of here if I didn't have the truth of God's word. Because I wouldn't be doing good at all, be doing any good at all trying to speak to you without the scriptures. If you don't have the promises of God, if you don't know the promises of God, if you're not willing this morning to humble yourself like these shepherds did and receive the word and go back into town, they didn't like them in town. You see, shepherds stunk. Did you know that? Because you know why? They were among the sheep all the time. They had an odor about them. They had a smell about them. But you know what? That smell and that odor and that occupation didn't keep them from going back into town and to proclaim the good news. And listen to me. Your sin should not keep you this morning from going away from here and declaring the good news. Why? Because if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You are just as worthy as the next, by the grace of God, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I've asked Ricky and him, would they sing at the invitation the life song? His life song, because this is the life song. This is the song that my grandmother took into eternity. This is the song right here that my grandmother took into eternity. And this will be the song, if you get there, this will be your song. This will be the only way you will get into heaven with God. This would be the only way. You listen to it good. The altar's open. If God's convicting your heart, which I'm sure He is. I'm sure He is. If He's convicting your heart, all you've got to do is to confess. You've got to name it. Whatever, let's stand together. Whatever the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning, listen like the shepherd's done. Listening. Be listening to God. Father, the altar's open. This is your song. If you lost, this could be the day that you could be saved. You may be a church member here and you are not saved. This could be today. Swallow your pride, come to Jesus, and He will save your soul.
Lord, I want to come before you. I do want revival in my heart.
Amen. You want revival?
In my spirit. In my body. But before revival, Lord, I know I must repent. So, Lord, before you, this body, I repent this morning. I ask you forgiveness for my wrong thoughts, my evil deeds, the things I say that are wrong. Search me, Lord, and forgive me, please. Wash me.
Won't you just
and make
pray?
Me whole again.
Won't you just pray for someone that's lost this morning? Let your first prayer be this morning for someone that you know is lost and unpardoned and undone, that needs the Savior.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Why don't you just come and pray?
So far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And now my life song sings. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see.
If you're lost, you can come.
I don't know how, but when He touched me, I once was blind, but now
you don't know for certain this
I
morning.
See.
That if you died this morning, if God called your
and
name this morning,
my life song sings.
That heaven is as sure as you're standing right here. You can
and
know it this morning.
My life song sings.
Don't wait.
And now
just come, make
my
haste
life
this morning.
Song sings. I once was dead, but now I once was dead, but now I live. Now I live.
Now my life
I give to you. Now my life.
Now my life
to you I give.
Now my life
to you I give.
Father, we thank you for your very presence here this morning. And we are very humbled that you would be so gracious and so kind to draw us, to speak to us, and to save and to sanctify. I thank you, Father, for those who have recommitted their lives, those who have came and just found you again, anew and afresh, and know what it means to take the gospel message to the world. Lord, we need your mercy, need your grace, need to know you in a more certain way. So, Father, we pray this morning that if any struggling with their salvation, that, Father, you would make it certain, the reason being why you saved them, and what for? Father, help us as we leave today from this glorious service to take the Lord Jesus with us and to be mindful of others and the message that you'd have us to share. And we just thank you and praise you for another opportunity to be in the house of prayer. For us in Jesus we ask. Amen.